tiny way.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking about Paradise Now. Press the dark.
Steve.
Mary, who hasn't seen the film.
Richard.
Rolfo.
Mary.
Rick, ditto on Mary.
Rick, ditto.
Who's making noises? Is that somebody's phone?
Yes.
Jane.
Oh.
Mark.
What is this?
Oh,
it's
moaning. Yeah.
I
can hear the vibration.
What's the film?
Paradise Now.
Did you see it?
No. Well, tell us who hasn't seen it.
Mary, I
see
the most popular.
Who didn't see it?
Yeah.
Who didn't see it?
Go see it.
Rick and Mary.
I didn't see it.
One.
Jane, you said I should see it when I spoke to you. And
you should see it.
Mira said I should see it, yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I really want to.
Yeah, so I was enjoying it.
Okay, George.
It's been a while since I've seen it, and I don't even remember it that well, but I remember it was a film that engrossed me right away. And 15 minutes after the movie started, the rest of the film, my stomach was in a knot from the suspense and tension. And it just had me for the whole 2 hours it was on the screen. Yeah. That was pretty good. But I don't remember that well now since it's been a while since I've seen it. Except that I liked it a lot. Yep.
I didn't find it all that engrossing. I found it hard, a little hard to pay attention to.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm.
Why?
Can somebody
give it? I think it's not my cup of tea. I didn't really.
Which way? Plot, subject, topic,
yeah, all of
actors,
yeah.
Place.
Can somebody give a synopsis? I mean, I know there's suicide bombers involved.
Two brothers who are working in a dead-end job.
Not brothers.
Childhood friends.
Okay. Working in a dead-end job at a
garage,
fixing cars.
In?
Nablus?
Yeah, Nablus. And They get the call to the suicide bombers. Somehow they got on somebody's list or something like that.
That's right. Right.
Because of some revenge for some other thing that happened. And they're both gung-ho about it, but one of them, prior to that, kind of gets involved with this woman who comes to have her car fixed, who's the daughter of a suicide bomber who's a big hero, and he's also the guy whose father was a traitor to the Intifada, and his family was shamed because of that, and that's one of his motivations too, and so the two brothers they go through
friends.
His yeah friends. They go through the 24 hours of preparation to do it. They do their little
which involves
video clip.
Praying or involves
no
kidding making videos
to be
and getting
oh, right.
stuck with
yeah.
the bombs
right.
and
mm-hmm.
right.
Videos that people can pick up in video stores.
That's
and
is that right?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Yes, that is pretty intense.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting kind of.
Yeah.
It sounds plausible. It sounds absurd.
Videos
yeah,
are
well,
available
well,
after they've
or,
completed
or
their mission
hoping
to become
yeah.
martyrs.
Yeah. Right. But in video stores.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then they're crossing the border to do their to get to the Israeli side and infiltrate and something messes up and they have to run back, and one of them gets stuck on the other side of the border, and he eventually comes back, and the whole mission's all messed up, and then the last half of the movie is about who might actually carry out the mission and who won't. And
they get a second chance to do it,
yeah.
But one of the guys backs out, and then the other guy decides to go ahead and do it, and in the end, the last scene, you're like, somebody asked me.
You don't know if
you
did it, though.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure you do.
Did you understand how that got messed up when they got messed up? When
they saw the
there was a car.
Guards.
Yeah, the guards coming in a car.
And so they had to run back. Someone had been tipped off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone had tipped off the guards, but that's not established for sure.
No.
But there's a suspicion that one of those two maybe had tipped him off or had a part in that.
Well, the two brother-like friends, I'll call them that.
Very good. Very good.
I like that. They seem to flip-flop, somewhat surprisingly, in terms of who was uncertain.
You mean without motivation?
The other person became uncertain. And that was a little... I was a little confused by that. I didn't see that coming.
I saw with a friend who felt the same way at the end, but to me, when I thought about it, maybe, I don't know why they flip-flopped, but the guy who at the beginning had been more gung-ho, his gung-ho-ness seemed a little naive anyway to me. You know, it was sort of like all based on... patriotism, you know, abstractions or something. And I thought maybe the fact that he spent half the movie frantically looking for his friend to try to save him, to make sure he'd be okay, that sort of gave him a sense of the value of life, you know, like he spent so much time.
Oh, interesting.
You've got to save this person's life, save his life. And so how could he then go and kill other people? I mean, I don't know. That was something that occurred to me.
That's good, and that would be a good aspect to bring out in that film. I didn't see it, but that would have been good to do that. I mean, here they are, and they narrowly escape getting caught, and they are facing death. You know, that's what they were going to do, and here he has a second chance, kind of a second chance at life. And what you're saying is totally true and totally plausible, and I wish they'd have presented it, but I didn't see it presented. You know, they could have done something. You know, there's some business they could have done. Maybe he could have been watching a girl eating an ice cream cone or something like that, and realized.
Conversations with the woman too. There were the conversations with the woman in the car.
Did she convince you?
She was giving arguments as to why you really shouldn't be doing this to him.
I thought she had a lot of good things to say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, these people, they had nothing else. You know, why did they do it? It's hard for us to understand. I can't understand it, except what they must feel there's nothing else. There's no reason to live. There's no...
Well, did it talk about their political? Well, that's for me, thank you.
You didn't see it?
No,
it didn't. It's kind of
they did. The one whose father was a collaborator, he helped.
That was the only motivation that you saw there. It wasn't really. They weren't. You know, the things that they were saying about. You know, we're gonna. This will help continue the fight. It just didn't ring true.
But they do have pretty dead end jobs.
That's what I meant.
And you know, another thing. Nobody's mentioned it, but. I certainly felt it when they crossed into Israel. The difference of the landscape, you know, the upscaleness, the cleanliness.
It's like
a different country, which of course it is. But it was like it's within 2 yards of each other, sort of. And I've been to Israel, but it was a long time ago. But I'll never forget when standing in a place like it was on the border. And you looked one direction, and there was Israel, and there were, you know, fields and lakes and trees. And then you just turn your face 180 degrees, and it was barren. And I'm sure it's different now, but there is that total contrast. And to me, that said something for them.
Well, the one guy said, he had his whole speech where he says he hadn't left there since he was 6 years old, and he can't. They won't let him leave there.
Oh, right.
But I'm sure they've seen pictures, and they know this other place is like right there, they have no access, and they have no hope of ever having any of that life.
And that's what I'm saying. I can't see any other reason people would put their lives on, you know, just be willing to.
Well, the one who does do the bombing, we think. Has the other big motivator that everybody's mentioned of his making up for his father's collaboration.
Well, he backed out the first time, too, when he was at the bus stop, when he saw the little kid on the bus.
Yes, he had his doubts.
Which is a bit, like, a bit obvious, a bit, like, hokey, don't you think? You
know, it was a little. It was a little bit, but it was subtle. It was subtle, though.
Well, how could subtle be hokey? Yeah,
I thought it was. It was showed enough of the little kid where it wasn't obvious, but enough that if you were paying attention, you saw a little kid come up to the bus driver, that you knew why he didn't get on the bus. I thought it was as subtle as it could have been.
Yeah, right.
They should have said,
"Mom, right up there." I think that's real. I think it's funny, but if your job is to blow up a bus and you see a kid on the bus,
well, if you want to blow up the bus driver, you know, he's not a kid, but the bus driver, the other passengers too, just because they're not kids. I thought it was kind of hopeful.
On the other hand, that scene sets up the last scene where you see him sitting on a bus and he's surrounded by soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Not just soldiers, there were civilians and all different kinds of people.
But you notice
the soldiers more because they're in costume and everything.
Yes,
but all
if you're a suicide bomber,
this is
your ideal bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I got a fuel bomber.
So what are you saying then?
They both scenes dealt with the bus, and both scenes dealt with who was on the bus. And whether or not he was going, he would go through with his mission. And the first scene, it was just the one little girl, or one little boy. I can't remember which it was. Mm-hmm. That shut down his mission. But the last scene, I thought it was pretty obvious that he was going to do it, because there were all these soldiers around. And you know, how often are you sitting on a bus with a bunch of Israeli soldiers if you're a suicide bomber?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. How often?
Oh, if you're sitting on a bus surrounded by a bunch of Israeli soldiers, if you're a suicide bomber.
Well, one thing this movie did for me is after I saw it, I went home and watched Promises. Because I wanted to get a little bit more history about the whole conflict. And it gave me a little bit of that. But then I remember the kids, the two twins in that movie, who would get on the school bus every day, and they didn't know whether they would get blown up or not. Mm-hmm. They just. Every day was, you know.
That was a really good film. We talked about that. I saw that at a film festival
where the filmmakers were there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was Jewish festival?
Yeah.
Castro? Yeah.
Set International had them too.
I think a couple places.
He was at a coffee shop across the street from me, and I was looking out my window, and I said, "That looks like Beezy." So I went over there.
Good, I'm glad.
I did. I said, "Are you B.C. Goldberg?" I think that's his last name. He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I just love." Well, you know, I went on and on about the movie. But I'm really curious.
I think he would appreciate that. I've met him, and he was surprised that I knew about the movie.
Yeah.
He was at a retreat that I was at. And at the end, we went around and said something.
Is this the video that circulated?
Right.
Yeah. And Beezy is the filmmaker who's in it, working with the kids. And I really thanked him for doing that, and he seemed surprised that I'd seen the film. Right. I don't know. I'm sure he was very
I'm kind of curious to see what a follow-up would be, you know, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to know if anything happens to anyone.
To all the kids, I know, like the twins, that would be painful.
Jane, what you were talking about, the difference in the economic situation. To me, I mean, that's a whole, you know, having lived in Britain for 12 years, and during the time, I think now there's a lot less violence in Northern Ireland, and I really believe that a big part of that is that there's so much investment there, and people there are richer than they used to be, and there are jobs, and there's discontent. Yeah, British investment and European community investment, and so there's something to lose. And I just think you're the only person who didn't really like the movie. I didn't.
So what?
I didn't find it very engaging.
I found it hard to pay attention to.
I have the opposite. Until they see yourself, maybe.
I think there was an attempt. I don't know how well it was accomplished, but I think there was a very important attempt to not justify, but to show two sides.
and how they were real people.
Even though,
you know, the mother.
Even though the argument of the woman in the car was they're not convincing to some, but you hear the argument against what they're doing. And yeah,
go ahead, finish.
After seeing the film, there was a news item where Clinton and his wife were in a country where a whole floor of a hotel was bombed. It was a wedding. What was it? Mm-hmm. Syria?
Syria.
Was it Syria?
There was Jordan.
And he said something in his usual way. He said, well, in order to understand, not that he was condoning or anything, mm-hmm. in order to understand why these people do this, mm-hmm. is you need to know the core of their reasoning. Mm-hmm. But it's abominable, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. And I connected it directly with the film. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not to justify, but you see, well, like people condemn, for example, what the God, the priests did in old, before Mexico was Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The sacrifices and the heart and the blood and all that. Mm-hmm. But there are reasons for that as well, even though it's not pretty. So that's the parallel.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds to me like the film was successful.
With me, it was.
With you, and hopefully with a lot of people.
You were going to say something.
Well, it's one of the things about this film, too, is I like these guys.
Yeah.
You like both of them. They're really both very likable characters, but then you know what they're going to do. And so you're like caught in this quandary about, okay, they're going to do this, and you're relieved the one decides not to do it. But then you have the other one still out there, and it's like you like them. You like both of them.
And one of them has a mother, you know, and the mother is a
mother. They have family, they show their family.
You know, she's washing the dishes, but what was the thing, like, no, why didn't anybody get that they suddenly were shaved and were wearing the suits?
That made
they got it.
Well, they kept saying, why are you wearing a suit?
Yeah, no. And the woman suspected it immediately, and kept asking until she opened the shirt and saw it.
But I don't think that made them invisible in Israel is I think the question that I had. I mean,
in Israel?
Yeah, they really stood out, I would think.
Are you getting married?
They look like gay men.
They look like wedding.
Did anybody pick up on that Last Supper scene?
Oh, yeah.
There were 13. Yeah, I tried to count it.
I did.
I think there were 13 that were around the table.
Wait, was it like one long
table? When was it?
I think they were, when they were
13 is the right number.
That's right, it is.
Yeah. Sure,
that's
Judas
right.
Is 13.
That's why 13
is unlucky.
That's correct.
Okay,
right. 13 floors and whatever. Well, they think that's, I mean, it could also come from earlier. But where was the, what was that scene? Where does it come
before,
from?
Before, yeah, were confirmed and accepted.
They were, it was their last meal.
Oh. Last year. It was supposed to be their last dinner.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, it makes his name in some paradise now. They think they're going to go to paradise.
And they were surprised they didn't hear anything about the 80 virgins they were
each going to get. Mentioned something
they did. There was that. And it was so offhand.
Like a throwaway.
I think it was like when they were shooting the video, you know, what's going to happen to us? And the guy said, oh, you're going to have 30 virgins. And it was just so...
The reward?
So absurd. And it was... And I don't know whether the two guys really treated it as such or not.
I think they must there's got to be a big incentive to make you be a suicide bomber.
But I think it's a lack of incentive. I think it's the other way around. It's just the no hope kind of life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why stick around?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds intriguing.
Yeah,
it is intriguing.
Very good.
Yeah.
I didn't see that at all. Why? I might as well die as to live here. I didn't see that.
No, me neither. Me neither. But what I'm saying is in life, you know, not in the film. In life, I can't see it any other way. Maybe people really do think they're going to be in paradise. I can't see that.
It's hard to wrap your mind around that concept.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't you believe that somebody believes that?
For a Japanese comic con.
Yeah, why wouldn't you believe that somebody believes that?
I guess. I didn't get that these guys really believed in paradise.
At the beginning, they showed
they go to the emperor.
They said they felt blessed. They felt lucky.
But that's not necessarily lucky that they're going to go to paradise. Lucky that they were chosen to become martyrs and do something for their country. My bet is, maybe it's just me, that if they could get bombs out there without sacrificing themselves, they'd be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way anymore that, you know, 99% of the bombs would be found and defused. So the only way they have of committing these terrorist acts is to sacrifice themselves, mm-hmm. you know, put the bombs on the person. That's my theory.
Well, like 9/11,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 9/11 wouldn't have... Yeah, it happened without people willing to giving up their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's happening every day in Iraq. You know, those are suicide
bombers all the time.
Yeah, and I didn't think this film really got into the heads of somebody who could do that. You know, I just didn't buy it.
It comes
right down to it. Yeah. I just couldn't buy it. I understand what you're saying. But I didn't see that.
I'm not saying that's
not either. She's saying she didn't.
I think, to me, in life, to think about what actual suicide bombers go through, I can't think of any other reason except the desperation. I think you're right. Maybe they do really believe they're going to go to Paris. I can't get my head around that. Mm-hmm. But the only place I did think it came across in the film was that, you know, the kind of horrible life they had. They couldn't get across this checkpoint, and also the contrast when you see Israel.
I think you know, if you were a filmmaker from that area of the world, things like the scenes with the checkpoints and the, you know, the curfews at night, you would understand. Just seeing that scene, all of the repression that meant.
Mm.
But to somebody like me living here, it didn't seem that terrible.
Yeah. You know? Well, the checkpoints, I thought, were really interesting, because you hear about it on the news, and, you know, the way they just come across these three concrete bars type thing. I never thought, what would it look like? You know?
Mm.
And I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's in Promises, too.
Yeah.
Promises. I really got the feel for the checkpoint.
But what I got was that people had kind of adapted to it. Like,
a checkpoint. All right, so we go around this way, you know. You can't go through there. Or remember that scene when people get out and they're walking and then there's a big boom?
Mm-hmm.
And so they sort of will duck down, but they keep walking like this. What a life.
I understand what you're saying, but the fellow who probably did actually eventually carry out the mission, he had the additional motivation of his father having been a collaborator. So that probably was enough and was adequate motivation.
Acting didn't sell me on that, though, and the dialogue. It could have been, it was probably a combination of both, the acting and the dialogue, but I just didn't feel his family guilt, you know. I just didn't feel that.
Wasn't he about to kill himself at his father's grave? Was that going to happen?
Wasn't that about
back to the grave, yeah.
So was that enough of an issue that you're saying you didn't buy the movie, or were there...
Yeah, I think it could have been a stronger film, and I think it just fell short in a couple respects, and
maybe it was reacting.
Well, I think they were capable actors. I think it was partly the dialogue, you know, and it's like when I was pointing out what you were saying, what was I pointing out? When you were saying that there were...
The guy who spent the movie...
That he spent the last half of the movie trying to save his friend's life, you know, and he got to see what the value of life was.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect opportunity to point out his change of view, and you could do it with some piece of business or something, you know, maybe not as obvious as, you know, having him sit and watch a little girl eat ice cream, you know, that's kind of a little hokey, but something like that could have come out in the dialogue or in the screenplay, to make us see how he changed his point of view. And you know, I thought his conversion from wanting to do the mission to not wanting to do the mission was, I bought that the least.
Yeah.
The other guy was okay. Yeah. I mean,
Which one did you buy?
The last.
I believe,
well, according to his, you know, the fact that he's feeling guilty he's about his father, I believe that because of the dialogue. I didn't believe it because of the acting. I believed it for the storyline, that he could maybe feasibly decide to kill himself because he was so ashamed of his father, and the business of him going and lying on his father's grave and going to blow himself up there said that, you know, he had some really strong emotions about that. But the other guy, the gung-ho guy, I didn't see his change at all. And what Jane was saying,
his change to not wanting it.
Yeah. And Jane, you know, she put out this proposed, you know, thing that what he was doing in the last half of the film was trying to save his friend's life. But and that's could he possibly have changed his you know, his view about his mission because of that, but I just didn't see it.
See, and I felt it, and I wasn't sitting there thinking, oh, he's changed his mind because his friend, I bought that at the end of the film, he changed his mind. It felt sort of right. So.
There was a scene where they were first united in a house, and there was the guy who was like controlling the mission. And the guy was like interviewing them both separately or something.
Yeah.
He was waiting for his friend out in the hall.
Right.
That's the scene where I think that it turned for him. And I just didn't see how it turned for him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was just getting old.
At the beginning or when?
When he finally reunited with his friend. Yeah, and they're at some house with the guy who's leading the mission. And he's waiting out in the hall while his friend is being interviewed about what went on. You could see his mind changing. You could see his acting saying, "My mind's changing," but I thought it was just because he was a coward at that point. I didn't see that he was, you know, he valued life more. I thought he was just having second thoughts about, you know, whether he was going to give up his life or not.
And did these guys volunteer for this, or were they
chosen?
They must have been on a list. Or
yeah, they must have made it known that they were up. They were.
Hackable.
But they must have been involved with these guys who
yeah,
told
yeah.
them to begin
yeah,
with.
Yeah.
Well,
he recruited
it.
Well, I had a choice to see one of these two movies because I was running out of time and I had to see one of them today. So I did the thing that, I don't know if you guys watch, do you use Metacritic?
Mm-hmm.
Metacritic is like, say what you want about critics, but if you take like all the critics combined and maybe you can get some kind of a semblance of like...
You mean that little box that's in the thing section?
No, Metacritic is a website, Metacritic.com.
How do you spell
Meta,
it?
Meta,
M-E-T-A.
Critic, C-R-I-T-I-C .com.
So it combines all the reviews for all the critics.
Yes, but not... Yes, and it gives them a score. So it's this very, you know, stupid thing.
The thing section
has that too.
Yes, but that's like 40 critics and it's like 8.1 or whatever. This is like on a scale of 100. If Variety gives it the A+ or whatever their stupid system is, then it's 100.
Mm-hmm.
But if other people put an actual score in like a 92 or 81 or whatever.
Scores.
And so I was like, well, let's look at the scores and that'll give me... But you can also read the reviews. So... the previous film we discussed,
Passenger.
The Passenger, got a 92.
Wow.
The critics love that film, and which is not surprising.
See, a lot of critics are our age, or my age, too.
And this film got a 72.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that's an okay score. It's not great, but it's in the upper echelon, right? So I was like, well, but that's a big difference. So that's why I chose the other film. But I don't tend to go see films like this. And I think Alan brought up that somebody says, you know, maybe you just didn't, you know, you're not in that space or you don't really want to go through that experience. And I was like, I don't want to go through that experience tonight. That's my own weakness, my own inability to like.
I even tried. I had extra coffee.
No, I haven't seen it. I had
extra coffee. I tried.
Also, I mean, the Metacritic thing is kind of interesting because, you know, I mean, through history, of course, many of the greatest films when they came out were
Well, you have to know the critics.
I
give more weight to A.L. Scott and New York Times and Roger Ebert. I appreciate. But some of those idiots on Variety and Premiere.
I think Variety does a really good job.
Maybe Variety's all right. I don't know.
But
you can tell when there's an ad, the only good critic they can come up with is like.
I have to tell you something. I have this book from New York Times. Movie criticism from the 60s and 70s. And they had this idiot critic. I think his name was Bosley Crowther.
Bosley Crowther.
He missed every important movie of the 60s. I have to show you this book. Last Year in Maribor. Garbage. He just, like, no matter what,
that's what I mean.
Things like that. What important movie in the 60s can he just didn't get it.
And he's working for the New York Times.
New York Times. This is a guy who could have changed the world. You know? I saw this documentary. I should get a broader view.
I saw
a documentary about this guy named Amos Vogel. Did you see it?
Who?
Amos Vogel. He had this movie club. This was like one of the first cinema clubs. He had a cinema where
Society.
But film society before there were. Before it happened, like this was in the 50s, in the 40s, 50s, and he was complaining about this Bosley Crowther. He wanted to show more experimental. In fact, he did show experimental films, and he did. And you know, he would get 300, 500 people. He would like sell the house. But it was
Did anybody here ever go to the Cirque?
Oh, sure, of course.
Is it back too long enough?
I came up to the surf con.